Shalom, אנחנו נקיים שיעור
בנושא. Hello, we're going to have a lesson on the topic of work in faith above reason. You can send questions to cam.tv. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. A lesson on the topic of faith above reason. I'm going to read excerpt number 15 from Shamati number 53 on the matter of limitation. The matter of limitation is to limit the state one is in and not want gadlut, greatness or adulthood. Instead, one wants to remain in one's present state forever. And this is called eternal dvekut, adhesion. Regardless of the measure of gadlut that one has, even if one has the smallest katnut, smallness, if it shines forever, it is considered having been imparted eternal dvekut, adhesion. However, one who wants more gadlut, it is considered luxury. And this is the meaning of any sorrow will be surplus, meaning that sadness comes to a person because he wants luxuries. This is what it means that when Israel came to receive the Torah, Moses brought forth the people to the bottom of the mountain, as it is written, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. A mount, in Hebrew, har, means thoughts, hilhurim. Moses led them to the end of the thought and the understanding and the reason, the lowest degree there is. Only then, when they agreed to such a state, to walk in it without any wavering or motion, but to remain in that state as if they had the greatest gadlut, and to be happy for it. This is the meaning of serve the Lord with gladness. This is so because during the gadlut, it is irrelevant to say that he gives them work to be in gladness, since during the gadlut, gladness comes by itself. Instead, the work of gladness is given to them for the time of katnut, smallness, so that they will have joy although they feel katnut. And this is great work. This is called the main part of the degree, which is the discernment of katnut. This discernment must be permanent. And the gadlut is only an addition. Also, one should yearn for the main part, not for the additions. Again, the matter of limitation is to limit the state one is in and not want gadlut, greatness. Instead, one wants to remain in one's present state forever, and this is called eternal dvekut, adhesion.
How can we imagine ourselves a state where we are left the way we are now, where I don't receive anything, and even less than what I have now? As Kabbalists used to pray to forget everything and not remember and not know, how can we imagine such a state to ourselves, where what I have now, even, I diminish it more and more and more gradually, as if I have this kind of knob or a switch that dimmer that I reduce more and more and more what I'll receive, what I'll attain, what I'll have, and instead I only imagine that I'm not going to have anything, I'm not going to attain anything, I'm not going to have anything. I'm going closer and closer to zero. Zero for myself. And nothing enters my will to receive. And then I'm in adhesion with the Creator. And from that moment, I then begin to increase my will to bestow beyond that point. To give more and more and more, to do what he wants. And for myself, that's it. No more. I've shut down my will to receive. Let's do this exercise. Talk about it.
How to diminish myself so I don't want anything for myself, to be zero. I don't know. The way I grasp it is
what I want to receive, and that's how I feel, how I'm giving up on this and this and this and this, all the way to zero.
I see it's a process that happens to you naturally. When, as you were walking on the path, in the beginning you thought you had to come here and conquer here and get your own status and everything, and you looked for all kinds of results and satisfactions in the work, and as the light works, all you want is to belong. Just keep me in this society and allow me to be like them.
The light is what develops, what gives the desire this picture, that it has no control and nothing of itself and no power of itself. And generally, you have nothing. And as a result, a person can actually find joyfulness. But the vessel above reason has to be built.
It depends on the measure of love for the friends, for the upper force. Otherwise, you're just in the will to receive and start pressing yourself. It develops the ego even more.
And surely we need to relate it to the goal and the greatness of the goal. I think that's why we do it. Yesterday's daily task was a very good example about how just making, you know, half a move is very tough, and you can't do it without the environment. In the will to receive, it's just doesn't make sense to do it. And when the will to receive starts wanting spirituality, it begins to pressure itself to do it. And it's interesting to see these processes.
Right, in the same direction. We can't diminish anything. As soon as you diminish, something inside begins to cry out. You can increase something against something that seems important to you, and then your proportions change and everything happens naturally. So what we need to do is increase the importance of connection between us, connection with the Creator. And then this whole thing of what I have gets a different proportion.
We can be thankful for every state, every moment where we are connected to the friends, to the path.
I don't feel that I'm really losing something. I feel like I'm connecting to the society and it complements it for me. It compensates.
I also agree that just lessening is not something you can do, but only in relation to how much you increase the greatness of the goal, the other things correspondingly decrease.
How do I feel that to the extent that I diminish my will to receive, my expectations, by this I come closer to the Creator? How do I come to feel it to the extent that I diminish my desire, limit it? To that extent, I get closer to the Creator. Go ahead.
One king can rule the person, either his will to receive or the Creator. And the more you decrease the will to receive, you make room for the Creator. And then there's an ability to make the friends a kli that the Creator can dress into.
I lost the question. I feel more and more If my area was what I could control in life, this area grows smaller and smaller, and the demand is more toward what moves reality.
Well, probably first a person by lessening himself feels that he needs support of the upper force and help.
As we said before, the reason why I diminish myself is in order to feel more the existence of the Creator, a reality of bestowal. So I diminish only the part where I want to take for myself, the pleasure, the delight. This is what I diminish.
It's very simple math, 0 and 1. If I care about what's in my vessels, I don't care about the friends, and you can't hold on to these two things together. At least in my experience, it's very much felt. There are many moments where you kind of like at the junction. I'm doing now something that suits me or something for the connection. And if you can overcome, like reduce or decrease the concern for myself, you make a step towards connection.
Right, we're basically talking about the motive, the reason for everything that happens. Why do I even move anywhere? Is it for my own benefit or for the sake of the Creator?
I try to integrate with the 10, and gradually the light converts my attitude, my intention for myself to the intention for the friends. The more I relate to the friends, the more that's where the Creator appears.
I don't understand what it means to diminish the will to receive, but if we're talking about relatively, then by increasing the merging with the society, the itkalelut with the society, you feel more of the Creator.
Yeah, in truth, actually, like Guy, I'm also not exactly seeing how this thing of shutting yourself down or lessening, and how does it work? We always develop. So how can you not want? How do you grow if you don't want anything? I don't know. I guess in spirituality, things work otherwise.
Why, if I don't want anything, it is called perpetual or constant dvikut, adhesion? Why, in a state when I don't want anything, it is called perpetual or constant dvikut, eternal dvikut?
Because you're in such an attitude towards the upper one.
Because you're revoking this lid, blocking the system, you open it.
Yeah, what does it mean not want anything? It's this embryo that only wants to be bonded with the womb, but it still wants to do that. So it's complete annulment to the upper one. Like Akoka reminded before, there's one throne, only one king can sit on it. So spirituality is wholeness. No, it's not a little bit.
Right. Not wanting anything doesn't mean you don't want anything. There's no such thing as not wanting anything. It's not wanting anything for myself. The desire is to maintain the connection with the friends and with the Creator as much as you can. And this is dvikut.
It's not that the desire disappears. On the contrary, the desire is kicking and submitting ourselves each time anew, but we don't use it for ourselves, rather for the Creator.
Right. It's not like I don't want anything. It's the biggest I want there is. And that's the one who is stubborn on the way, who is tenacious. You want to be adhered to the upper one. You want to be annulled completely in the desire of the upper one.
Maybe I don't want anything for myself, only to bestow. Maybe that's not wanting anything, and that's dvekut. Again, but like Kuka said and others, it's the will to receive always grows. I don't understand what it means not to want anything.
Rav, why only after this point of not wanting anything do I begin to acquire desires to bestow from the upper one? Why only once I have come to the biggest limitation where I don't want anything, I have dvekut, and then I begin to receive the desire to bestow from the upper one? Go ahead.
I think this whole not wanting anything is with respect to fulfillment and results in the will to receive. Once you stop looking for results there, you can begin to receive different kinds of fulfillment, a different kli that is outside of you. And I guess that is the will to bestow that you receive.
Right. After all, it's about a person's relation to the desire. You're discovering that the desire isn't supposed to get this relation to what he's doing now. And then you find a place to where you can relate to the upper one.
All in all, we are a will to receive. It can't be without fuel. And if there's no egoistic fuel, there's restriction on it, then there's room for a different kind of fuel, a different kind of intention.
In the beginning, you need to kind of clean up the system. This is what we're doing. This is the whole tzimtzum, the restriction on the intention to receive for myself. Once the system is sterile and clean, you can start instilling powers from the upper one.
In other words, in our terms, it's equivalence of form. There is such a state of equivalence of form, and then the light begins to work on the desire.
Initially, it's about being similar to the Creator by not being in reception, and then you become similar to the Creator by being actively bestowing upon Him with external kelim, vessels. The friends, the environment, you can get from the desire, from the environment, desires and bestow upon them.
I also get back to our technical terms, well, of the wisdom of Kabbalah. We have one will to receive. It works in either one of two states, intention to receive or intention to bestow. So not wanting anything is not using the intention to receive, and as a result of restricting it more and more, lessening the use of that intention, it gives more space to the intention to bestow, which is the quality of the Creator.
Maybe because then there can be equivalence of form. When the kli is cleaned from the will to receive, then you can put on it the desire to bestow.
Rav, why anything we will get after the total and complete annulment is called greatness? Adulthood, it's called gadlut, the addition.
Because after the annulment, it's no longer results for you. You can start receiving only if you are receiving for kelim outside of you, which you begin to fill, and you don't fill yourself in the work.
Because that's the matter of the relation, that I receive whatever the upper one is doing, and I have no relation to it, no desire that is in addition, but the whole development is the work of the upper one on me.
because he corrected all the kelim and doesn't want anything for himself. If he receives, it's not for himself, it's for the society, the friends, the Creator.
Gadlut is already from using differently the intention, with the intention. He already understands what he wants to use in order to bestow, he can use greater vessels. This is called growing up. Why is it called luxuries? I'm not sure.
Necessity is what allows life in our world too. It's necessity. What allows life is necessity, is what you have to have, and what allows life is annulment in spirituality. This is what allows connection with the Creator. And annulment, once you have it, you have connection with the Creator. Anything beyond it is truly luxury, it's a surplus. It's not necessary. You don't have to have it in order to be in touch with the Creator. You're already connected to Him. It's just an addition.
Why is it called luxuries? Maybe because if it doesn't come from the friends,
Rav, once we've given up everything and achieved complete limitation, how can we now picture ourselves that we are beginning to receive? How can we picture once, after the complete limitation, meaning the tzimtzum, the restriction, how can we picture to ourselves that we are beginning to receive, maintaining the complete relinquishing? Speak together, try to help each other out. You don't need the answer. You need to search together.
It feels like there's another step in the middle where we work first with the desires of the friends to bestow to them without receiving. And then comes a state where we can receive, but in any case, it's with regards to the outside. And if not, if we don't use the force that's created by the annulment, then you can't move to any new desire, not outside or...
I've said we should speak together and help each other out, so I'm asking for your help, because I'm beginning to understand that I have no idea what we're talking about. I don't understand the order of the work. First we totally empty ourselves and then begin to receive, or to the extent that we make room, it begins to fill up. I just want to focus on the question so we can connect.
Yeah, I too can't understand the questions today. I mean, the questions are clear, but the state they describe, the limitation, the giving up on everything, the complete limitation and then the restriction and then beginning to receive, it's a known process, but when you suddenly take it into practice, how to do it, I don't know.
Right, it's nice to see that recently we read this excerpt maybe 10 times. Each time you understand it differently. The only thing I can think of is if we can annul our own desire to receive, then you start living with a different desire outside of you, the desire of the other one. And then your reception becomes through it, and that becomes bestowed because you're not receiving your own kli, you're receiving their kli. Maybe in this direction.
After the quality of bestowal becomes more important to you, and then the quality of reception actually becomes something that is contemptible to use, you begin to develop and find new desires with which you can bestow, and for that you need to receive. There's some inversion here that happens depending on the importance of the goal.
It's hard to describe being in complete dvikut, not wanting to yourself anything, and suddenly wanting to receive. Why? To break the dvikut. I guess there is a great desire to bring contentment out of this love that's not clear.
It's exactly following the question from before, that the goal of creation is to reach a state where we can enjoy all the good and abundance we have to receive in order to bestow. This is the answer. There is such a development of the desire that is clear, that it cannot get rid of this limitation of receiving for itself and being in connection with the giver, or since the giver wants to give to him, he has to begin to receive. So it's not a matter of anything has to do with himself.
Every time we're talking about how we receive again after we did the tzimtzum, everything gets totally blurry and really unclear. Why do it? How can I be filled with pleasure and not feel it inside? It seems
we are continuing this excerpt, and it doesn't matter the measure of gadlut that he has, even if one has the smallest katnut, infancy, if it shines forever, it is considered having been imparted eternal dvikut. However, one who wants more gadlut, it is considered luxury. And this is the meaning of any sorrow will be surplus, meaning that sadness comes to a person because he wants luxuries. This is what it means that when Israel came to receive the Torah, Moses brought forth the people to the bottom of the mountain, as it is written, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Amount means thoughts. Moses led them to the end of the thought and the understanding and the reason, the lowest degree there is. Only then, when they agreed to such a state, to walk in it without any wavering and motion, but to remain in that state as if they had the greatest gadlut, and to be happy for it, this is the meaning of serve the Lord with gladness. This is so because during the gadlut it is irrelevant to say that he gives them work to be in gladness, since during the gadlut gladness comes by itself. Instead, the work of gladness is given to them for the time of katnut, so that they will have joy although they feel katnut. And this is a great work. This is called the main part of the degree, which is a discernment of katnut. This discernment must be permanent, and the gadlut is only an addition. Also, one should yearn for the main part, not for the additions.
Everything we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah concerning the Patsufim, Ibui, Nikam, Ochin, everything that happens in the 10 Sefirot is all above this point of the general concession. Next, excerpt number 16.
Excerpt number 16, this is from What is Waste of Barn and Winery in the Work. And the purpose of the work is in the literal and the natural, since in this work he no longer has room to fall lower down, since he's already placed on the ground. This is so because he does not need greatness. For him, it is always like a new thing. This means that he always works as though he had just begun working now. And he works in the form of acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. The basis upon which he built the order of the work was in the lowest manner, and all of it was above reason. Only one who is a real fool can be so low as to proceed without any basis on which to establish one's faith, literally with no support. Additionally, he accepts this work with great joy, as though he had had real knowledge and vision on which to establish the certainty of faith. And to that exact measure of above reason, to that very measure, as though he had reason. Hence, if he persists in this path, he can never fall. Rather, he can always be in gladness by believing that he is serving a great king. This is the meaning of the verse, "The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at dusk," according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof. This means that gladness that he had while he was sacrificing his sacrifice, when it was a morning for him, as morning is called light, meaning that the light of the Torah was shining for him in utter clarity. In that same gladness he was making his sacrifice, meaning his work, even though for him it was like evening. This means that even though he did not have any clarity in the work and in the Torah, he still did everything gladly, since he worked above reason. Hence, he could not measure from which state the Creator derives contentment.
How do we maintain ourselves on the point of zero? What connection can there be between us and with the Creator if we say that we have diminished the use, not the will to receive? We have no control over the will to receive. We can control only, and even that only to an extent, through a society, through prayer, that we've come to a state where we're using zero amount of the will to receive. So what ability do we then have to connect to one another? How do we connect beforehand? And how do we connect between us afterward? By what forces? By what purposes? If we want to achieve a state of zero reception, go ahead. What moves us? What connects us? Go ahead. Be a little more.
Well, all the way to zero, what motivates us is some interest-based connection. I ran into these terms of conditional and unconditional love, and zero is related to it. If I join the friends with my zero, that's already a connection that has no personal interest, and therefore it's much stronger also. Maybe that's how to describe it.
Until the zero, we run away from our will to receive. We're fed up with this form of reality that we see before us. And we're going together. We run together from it. From that point onward, we go together toward connection with the Creator, which is detached from this will to receive, and we want only to bring Him contentment.
I think we need to define the Creator as our common goal, even before the zero, as a goal. We yearn there and we let the light gradually take us to a true state of zero, where we adhere to it and not just the intentions for ourselves.
Maybe zero means we're willing to work without getting reward for the will to receive. Although before the 0 point, it's not clear how to work only for this goal. But just to be, as we said yesterday, you find something great and you want to be connected to this great thing.
How do we reduce ourselves to zero? So again, the will to receive can't be diminished because it's the matter of creation. The whole thing is to diminish the use of it. So that's what we have to see. How do we diminish the dependence on fulfilling the will to receive all the time? And by reducing the need to serve the will to receive, we can begin to have a need or a desire to begin serving and fulfilling the Creator.
Right. One way or the other, it moves us toward a will to receive, and the replacement is when you relate to a different desire, to the quality of bestowal, the importance of the quality of bestowal, what's important to me, the will to receive or bestowal.
First, it comes from running away from the will to receive, from the bad and the force of our vut, and then we receive a force to bestow contentment, and from that we hold on.
We have to constantly exert, although everything we talk about sounds remote or virtually impossible, in our intellect, because of the greatness of the friends that we have sitting here with us and in the world Kli, this gadlut, this greatness that a person begins to develop within him, can help him maintain that 0 point where he wants nothing for himself, which is his point of connection to the friends.
Yeah, I imagine this connection at zero level as something very, very powerful and eternal too, because again, there are no forces drawing to pulling there. It all converges into a certain point, a certain sense of connection that we are not familiar with in our world.
Before the 0 point, we connect at a common zero, and after the 0 point, we connect in the Creator.
What is the question? I forgot what we're talking about. Ah, zero, being zero. It's, well, you need a lot of importance of the goal.
Exit number 17. By Rabash, what is the saboteur was in the flood and was put into death in the work. The question is, what is lowliness? How is it expressed that a person is in lowliness? The literal meaning is that lowliness is when one subdues oneself and works above reason. This is called lowliness, when he lowers his reason and says that his reason is worthless. In other words, man's reason dictates that if the Creator gives him all his needs, which the will to receive understands that it deserves, then he can love the Creator. That is, he loves him because he satisfies all his needs. If he did not, he would not be able to lower himself and say that his reason is worthless. Rather, at that time, he would depart from the Creator and say that it is not worthwhile to serve the Creator if he does not grant him his wishes. It follows that this is called proud. Since he wants to understand the ways of the Creator, in what is he regarded as good and doing good if the body does not get what it demands? About such a proud person, the Creator says, he and I cannot dwell in the same abode. But if he lowers himself and says, I cannot understand the ways of the Creator, and he says that what his reason dictates is worthless, but he is going above reason, This is called lowliness. And it was about him that the verse, "The Lord is high and the low will see," was said. He is rewarded with the Creator bringing him near him. Again, what is lowliness? How is it expressed that a person is in lowliness? The literal meaning is that lowliness is when one subdues oneself and works above reason. This is called lowliness. When he lowers his reason and says that his reason is worthless. In other words, man's reason dictates that if the Creator gives him all his needs, which the will to receive understands that it deserves, then he can love the Creator. That is, he loves him because he satisfies all his needs. If he did not, he would not be able to lower himself and say that his reason is worthless. Rather, at that time, he would depart from the Creator and say that it is not worthwhile to serve the Creator if he does not grant him his wishes. It follows that this is called proud, since he wants to understand the ways of the Creator, in what is he regarded as good and doing good if the body does not get what it demands. About such a proud person, the Creator says, "He and I cannot dwell in the same abode." But if he lowers himself and says, "I cannot understand the ways of the Creator," and says that what his reason dictates is worthless, and he is going above reason, this is called lowliness, and it was about him that the verse, "The Lord is high and the low will see," was said. He is rewarded with the Creator bringing him near him.
שאלות.
Questions.
Sergei from Moscow is asking, what is lowliness and how can we use it?
As we now just read, we can see that lowliness means when a person lowers his ego, his pride, his vessels of reception, and doesn't want to use them. More?
About the quotes?
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Concerning not wanting anything for himself. How does this work? Because you're motivated by a desire that wants all the time. So what does it mean that you don't want for yourself?
The fact that my desire wants depends on the influence of the light. I'm a result of the light that shines. If I reach a state where I don't want anything for myself, it's a result of the light that reforms, that my will to receive now is ready not to restrain itself, but it just lost its importance in my eyes. And that's why I'm willing to be in a state where I don't get any result from the actions, from the moves I make, anything that happens. This means putting himself to death. It's not for something else, but those discernments referred to as the will to receive. There, I don't feel that I'm expecting, awaiting some reward, fulfillment, This happens as a result of the influence from above, as usual. We're all operated. But the state itself is something we need to understand. It then comes, and then above it, a person can continue the work and the desire with the intention to bestow. Yeah.
So the whole thing about not wanting anything, being zero, etc., it's all toward the reward from the work?
What reward? This is the reward, that I don't want anything.
Yeah, I understand this, but what I'm trying to understand is before you are zero, you kind of, you search for results in the will to receive.
Sure, sure, yes. In mind and heart, I'm searching, yeah.
Right. So from the minute you start, you manage, you succeed in being zero, so just the work itself?
A person, before that comes, there's a time of the greatness of the Creator that you really care to have it in your eyes, you're willing to make some actions, but the greatness of the Creator, you feel that in your vessels of reception. And then later you come to a point where it's just zero. Most important is not wanting to receive anything, no results.
So you stop looking for results from your work?
It seems to us that we're supposed to make some effort here. Our efforts always come from the will to receive, and they're not here. It's a result of the influence from above. It is such that I am in infancy and even zero.
If you are looking for influence from above, isn't it looking for a result?
I'm looking for the result as well as seeing afterwards that I'm not looking for that either. I'm at zero. Well, look, there are many nuances here.
Kiev.
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 A question from a friend from Kiev. If I diminish myself to zero in the will to receive, from where do I take the strength to continue living my corporeal life?
Not wanting anything means not from corporeal life, it's all about spiritual life. In the corporeal life, I function normally. I have no problem with that. I don't mix together my corporeal desire with spiritual desires. I continue to function in this life, even though my functioning sometimes looks like a machine that has to work the way it works, and all of my emotions are in spiritual discernments. But it doesn't bother. One doesn't interfere with the other. I do my job, I'm with my family, there's no problem. Everything that we're talking about with regards to annulment to the point of zero, it's a very thin slit, the eye of the needle that we have to get into in order to enter the other side of reality. And that is what, with regards to spirituality, that's the annulment that we're working on. Our desire has to be reduced to all the way to zero. Then we cross, we pass through that curtain, the machsom, the barrier, and then we start growing like a drop of sperm in the other side of reality, the other part of reality. Okay, many questions, I see. Okay, yes. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just take one and speak.
Good morning, Rav. It's concerning the limitations and whatnot. Rav, Do you really have to be happy with what you have now, or do you need to want more?
Look, we're talking about people who are already doing the work. We want to approach a certain state. Why do we study it? Even though we're not yet in it, we have to know that it's on the way. Kabbalists write to us about this state. I want to highlight it a bit more to make it clear, loud and clear before us, so that we know that transitioning to, say, the spiritual world is possible on the condition that we reduce our will to receive to zero, and then the will to bestow begins to grow in us. That's the transition. We should know. Yes?
So it's not about us. What's to be happy about? What is this in this murky world?
You think about what we are learning, and that's it, and gradually...
But it's not now.
Not now. Okay, so it's later. For some people, it's very close to it. For others, it's farther. But generally, the society needs to know this is what it is facing it. And then, by way of hastening time, it will influence it to come closer to it. Okay? Yes, Moshe.
I guess there are two things here. On one hand, there is not wanting anything. On the other hand, you feel very low about yourself, and from this, and you agree to it. Are these two things or the same thing?
Well, there's this and that. First of all, truly not wanting anything is, as we already said, a result of the light that reforms. The fact that he feels that he is lowly with regards to his will to receive, he certainly has a state of not wanting anything from his spiritual development here. So to him, not wanting anything is the attainment, is the degree, is the reward. It is something great and good that he has attained, and he's happy about it. He spoke about the happiness of that here. And that's it. And then we'll begin to understand afterwards what it means to be in bestowal, which in our world we never felt before. Yes.
What does it mean to imagine a state where we are the lowest in the biggest katnut?
It's all with regards to the corporeal will to receive. Corporeal meaning in order to receive. Right now, I depict to myself all kinds of goals, all sorts of rewards that I'll have and get, and what will I get? Being at zero and not wanting anything in mind and heart and everything I've got right now, that will become the loftiest, most exalted state of all of my development, of all of my corporeal development. And from that point onwards, I begin to develop as a drop of sperm in the spiritual world.
And what is the state of katnut?
A feeling. It's a feeling, not yet spiritual. It's still with regards to the will to receive of mine that I always existed in. You can say it like this. With regards to all of my corporeal functioning, a person continues to work in kind of a mechanical way, doing all those things that he's doing, and he does what he has to do. With regards to spirituality, he's studying that state of not wanting anything. But not wanting anything doesn't mean that I don't want anything, so I leave spirituality. No. I want to remain with all my strength at that state where I finally reach the point where it's not that I decrease and decline and go to zero. It's zero with regards to the expectations of in order to receive. Where thankfully, in order to receive, with regards to that, I now receive the correction from above, by the light that reforms, that I don't want it. It's after I've worked on the greatness of the Creator and in different kinds of ways, and I receive that illumination. Okay? Yes, Amnon.
Through the discussion in our 10, a question came up. How can a person annul his desires to receive? Because we learn that a person cannot pull himself out of the mud he is in by his own hair.
Everything you're able to do, you should do. If you care about the tens, your environment, your group, all kinds of things that we say with regards to the connection, then then comes the light that reforms and corrects. How? There's no question about it. It's the upper force that gradually gives you its nature.
But a person naturally has a will to receive, so there is a how here. How does he annul it? Can he pull himself out of the imprisonment?
By the light that reforms.
So only through request and prayer?
Yes. There are no questions here. We're talking about the state whereby what we're doing now, all that you can do, are able to do, you should do, you then come to that state also. And then there's already a good part of the people here who are at the entrance to that. That's why I'm saying it. And others can also integrate and come closer to it pretty fast.
Question from Ashkelon. How does lowliness go hand in hand with a desire to reveal, only to serve or not want to understand the ways of the Creator? And there's another similar question about the difference between working on the greatness of the Creator and restricting the will to receive. Or maybe it's not.
Look, we're talking about a state that can become revealed in the person where he doesn't want anything. Doesn't want anything for himself. He wants to stay in that state, which to him is the most advanced state, where he always wanted to come to all sorts of accomplishments and all kinds of states, and now not. Meaning that annulment, the general annulment towards any future thing, that desire he had disappears. He feels nullified, meaning that the desire is nullified, not he himself. He feels that he strongly exists, actually, but the demands for himself disappear. Meaning, the will to receive in order to receive has received a certain cover from above, the light from above that influenced it and nullified it. And a person doesn't want anything, zero, and he's happy about it, because to him that state is the peak of his development. Of all the previous work where he was annulling and annulling and annulling all the way to zero, his will to receive. Now his will to receive doesn't demand anything of him. Now the question is, what is he doing next? That's already the other side of the barrier, of the machsum. So, you know, talking about it a little bit, awakening this a little bit, more than that, there's nothing to do in the meantime. But by awakening it, by understanding that this is what we're facing in front of us, we also begin to see the present states a little different, which means that working more in order to bestow and less in order to receive, as much as we understand in our will to receive, is advancing us towards the goal. That's it. Terans.
Rav, slicha, lo...
Rav, excuse me. It's not clear to me. What does it mean, katnut? In a simple way.
Towards who? Towards what? Infancy, katnut in spirituality means that I don't have sufficient power to bestow according to my vessels. Let's say I have vessels worth 100 kilogram of desire. 100 kilogram of desire. Now, but working in order to bestow, I can only use 40 kilograms of desire. The other 60, I can't work with. So I diminish myself. That's it. That's called katnut. Meaning, it is always measured with regards to the general desire in the kli. The katnut and gadlut. How does he move from katnut to gadlut? Prayer receives force from above and activating his vessels 100%.
But can you explain why, if I'm in total annulment, what I later receive is an addition? What does it mean?
An addition means that you can later begin to work with your vessels in order to bestow, where the benefit will be felt in other vessels, not like you had before. You'll begin to feel a new, different reality. And you're doing it in order to truly fulfill the vessels of the Creator, seemingly the Creator's vessels.
And what comes first, to be in katnut or to be a zero?
Everything starts from zero. We first are at the height of our will to receive. We diminish it. Not the will to receive itself, the use of it, because it loses its importance in our eyes. We reach zero, which is where the use of the egoistic desire has been decreased to zero. That's the point of restriction. And then, beyond that, I begin to receive strength from above to use my will to receive in order to bestow.
So, how to act and in being a zero?
Towards the friends. Otherwise, you cannot awaken the light. Only towards the friends. In practice, like Rabash writes, Bala Sulam writes it too, I think, that it's very good to practically annul himself, how does he say, humiliate himself towards the friends.
And at first it's just a game, and then comes the light that reforms?
It's always a game. As a result of this game, comes the light and does it. Yes, Moshe, what?
I'm still trying to scrutinize the state of katnut. When I awaken at some point throughout the day, or just wake up, and I feel myself as a zero, nothing to do with spirituality.
Hold on. I understand. What does it mean, zero towards spirituality? That you have nothing, or that you don't want anything?
A state of katnut.
I don't know what katnut is. Explain what you feel. In what vessels? That I don't have anything doesn't mean that I'm small. I want great things.
Not from the point of wanting. It's from the feeling that me and spirituality are two separate things. I'm nothing. And what does it mean? Is it considered a state of katnut? What is a state of katnut?
You're asking this, that if I don't have any desires, does that mean I'm in a state of zero? Or if I have great desires that are under restriction, is that called zero? Right? Who does the tzimtzum? Is it done to me from above, or do I cause it from below? There are many discernments here. I don't know what exactly you're asking about.
I understood that there are two things here. On the one hand, I want nothing in my will to receive.
I don't want anything to receive. I am now in a state that I don't want anything for myself to receive for myself, right? And I'm very happy about that because that's the beginning of my spiritual development.
Yes. And on the other hand, there is a state where one feels himself at the bottom of, at the feet of the mountain, meaning at the lowest state.
The lowest state, right.
So in a state of feeling yourself in the lowest state, what do I hold on to?
That I'm willing to give up upon my desires to receive, all of them, and to start receiving the light that reforms, that will correct them in order to bestow. That's the condition of our avut that we seemingly want to go towards.
And what does it mean to always stay in such a state? What is the description of that state, and what does it mean to stay there?
That I don't want anything for myself. It can be that I imagine the situation, and it's possible that I've received the light from above that did this to me. Yes.
But on the other hand, it seems that it's not related at all, because what I feel, well, like Shimon from the market, every person in this world is not related to anything in spirituality. So what do I hold on to? What does it mean that I want this state always, permanently?
I don't understand what you're talking about. Are you in this world alone? You have nothing to do with spirituality? Then what are you asking about if you have nothing, no connection to spirituality? You're still asking about your spiritual state.
I discovered that I myself am nothing. I only want for myself. I only think of myself.
Good. That's a certain spiritual state where it's revealed to you who you really are. A person on the street doesn't have such discernments.
And in that state, I agree that all my life, I'm always in such a state, and I hold on to what? Okay, I'm Moshe, and that's it, fine. What am I holding on to? From that low degree, what do I hold on to, and what remains for eternity?
Nothing. We learn that there is such a state that's ahead of us, that we will reach, that we won't want anything. We'll be at point zero, and we'll be happy about it. Because in our will to receive, we got a correction from above, that this will to receive doesn't want anything. We're satisfied with zero, and I don't want to have anything from that. I have worked on my large will to receive so much, I've come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. For many years I've done this work, and suddenly I see that now this will to receive does not speak in me. It's a result of correction. Now what do I do next? I now try, I'm now going to develop in a new desire, in a desire to bestow. The desire to receive doesn't disappear, and I'm happy that I have no demand from it. I don't want anything. It's a result of the light. Okay, well, you know, this is, we need time. We will move on to the study.